Welcome, everyone. Give us all another minute to get here. Right. So we've got our third and last call in the training call in the Befriend Your Fear module today. We're not in even after this call, we're not leaving Befriend Your Fear behind, just in case you're like, oh my gosh, but was it enough and I need more and all of that. We're gonna keep on coming back to all of the principles in this module for sure. But again, just to review, in our first session in the Befriend Your Fear module, we looked at energetics, foundational principles, human behavior when it comes to fear, all important principles for you as the practitioner to know. So that because it will inform your skills, the questions that you ask, and the energetics that you bring to your clients when you are working with fear. In our second session, which was last week, we went through kind of theoretically the steps of the process, step by step, and then we did a little bit of a demo of it with the group so that you could all start to get more acquainted, do a little bit of your own work with fear. And then in our call today, we are going to bring it all together. And in a little bit, I will ask for a volunteer and we'll do a demo of the technique one-on-one, and then we'll have time to really kind of pick it apart and break it down and learn from it. Before we get to that, I would love to hear from some of you what has been resonating for you around everything that we've been looking at over the last few sessions when it comes to fear. What's been clicking for you? What have you been noticing personally? What have you been noticing in your client sessions? What wants to be shared around this topic that's feeling important? As always, I want to hear from you, whether you've shared a lot in the past or whether it's the first time you're raising your hand. I want to hear your voice and your experience and your wisdom. Catherine.
Oops. Hey, we just did a little sort of proto befriend your fear in the coaching session that I just had with my partner. And I just think it's so amazing how much this stuff is relevant, like the stuff that we're doing is so what I need right now. And I've been doing a lot of work around the new moon in Virgo. And I had this amazing revelation in the befriend your fear activity that we did half an hour ago. And I just right now realized that I was like, my number one fear in like my 20s and my 30s is that I'm too tired to live my life. Like I've been tired, I've been exhausted since I was a teenager. And the revelation that came out today was like, it's kind of working. I'm going to stick with the sleepy approach. Like I have this crazy insomnia. And so it was so nice to be like, totally like cool with that. And it was it, and so I appreciate that as just something I've been grappling with for decades. And also that it's like all part of the program right now and getting to kind of see it and experience it. So that's what's coming up for me a little bit right now.
Thank you so much for sharing. First, I just love it. People tell me all the time that the session that we just had in Sacred Depths was the exact one that I needed personally. So I always love to hear that. And I want to pull out something that Catherine, from what Catherine just shared, that is, we looked at this last week, but just it's such a great example of it. I can't help myself, just as a reminder. Sometimes we do the process and we don't want to be attached to our client changing their actions, right? So what we just heard from Catherine, what the whole befriend your fear process, like part of what was important for her was that it's okay. What has been happening is okay. She gets to approach herself with more love and compassion and make deeper friends with the fear, but not necessarily change the action. And maybe at some point an action will want to be changed and that's what's going to be aligned for you, right, Catherine? But the idea for us as practitioners is not to get attached to, we want her to make the video. This is so that the client puts the dating profile up on the dating app. This is right. No, this is to make deeper friends with the fear so that the client can leverage it more, can work better together with it to make the best decisions, even if it's the same action by default that they were taking before. It's now an empowered decision. So thank you so much for sharing that. Great example. Juniper.
Yeah, one thing that has really struck me about this that I've been appreciating is how our different levels of awareness and processing come into this particular topic. So just noticing, like bringing awareness, like even having awareness before jumping ahead to the somatic exercises and but still integrating them. And I'm just really appreciating that it feels like nothing, no steps are skipped, you know, just so comprehensive bringing all of that in, which I, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're pulling on that because it's another important piece. All four levels are important. And sometimes we get so excited about the somatic work, as we should, because it's so exciting, that we forget that the cognitive level is a part of it. And that sometimes it's important for a client to go into any somatic process, having some already made some connections cognitively and awarenesses cognitively will actually help them go deeper and make that somatic experience more meaningful for them, which is why before we go into the actual process, we spend the time to create awareness. And thank you for pulling on that. Sue.
So I wanted to share something that came out of my session with Rosa that I've been working with. And I think each time I've worked with Rosa, I've walked away with some deeper, more wonderful insights. But what was so clear to me was that although both of us actually knew what process to follow ourselves, it was the fact that we came together that allowed both of us to go deeper. And that was a wonderful insight. Thank you, Rosa.
I'm so glad that you saw that and that you're sharing that here with all of us. It goes back to energetics and container, and it's never, ever just the practitioner working on the client or leading the client, right? It's a partnership. It's a coming together. And in that partnership, that's where the magic happens. Thank you. Golda.
I had myself on mute. Hi. I think I'm definitely one of those people is like this just such alignment this module for where I've been. I've been feeling so much fear. Taking a big trip out of the country and having so much unknown and mystery. And interestingly, I just arrived at a different location. I ran down to the beach and stood and watched the ocean for 30 minutes and knew I wanted to go in, and I could feel that edge of knowing I am to do this. The waves are pretty big. So I'm like, I am to do this. I am to go in, and I'm scared. So I could just feel that fine line of being at my edge, of my growth edge, but still in my comfort zone, knowing that I am to do it.
Yes.
And that was I could feel my heart just pounding. And so I just sat there and I just listened and I talked with my fear for 30 minutes and talked with the ocean, and then ultimately got in.
It's so beautiful. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. That's what we're going for. We're not going for not feeling the fear.
Maybe one day,
right? That's not, but actually the bigger work is the being with the fear. And even with the heart pounding, feeling a sense of regulation with the fear, and understanding that the thing is meant to happen and will happen. And I also can feel the fear. And then when we do that, as you're saying, Golda, you took the action, right? Which is great. And I'm going to add a piece to this. That was a moment where you were really conscious of the fear, right then and there, big waves, ocean, right? Pretty obvious. But by practicing feeling the fear and being aware of all of that in that moment, that's moving you just a little bit further ahead the next time where you have to make a video or whatever it is. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to take a walk instead or this, that. It's just moving you a little bit further into that awareness that's going to come more naturally in your body. No, this is a moment actually to feel the fear around the thing that I want to do and get regulated with it. Good, thank you. Yeah. Maria.
The befriend your fear technique. I work in groups. And so the other day I got to have this opportunity of a friend of mine was sitting there and she was sharing. And then I got to ask her, hey, would you like to go deeper? And, and really set the framework. And then, getting the permission and understanding and then going deeper in and really holding space for facing the fears. And then just how much people want, the natural tendency is cut the cord, pull the cord, take that out, not like that, not have that. And so to just really offer a new perspective of just let's what if, and using the word what if you could love it, if that was even possible, and so just creating space, and then how uncomfortable it is for people, even though they're saying yes, they're willing and they're game and they're doing it. And then multiple times watching her reach for her phone or something and then be like, oh, we're still in this process. I'm not going to leave you here. Let's just, oh, we're still in a process, and then going all the way through and then leaving really feeling filled up. And with her own love and power, it was really beautiful because I think, oh, I'm not really going to do one-on-one. I'm way better in a group, but seeing that transformation with that woman. And then I took it with our coaching partner and then did work with her. And then at the end, she was like, that was our best session. So it just felt like I was personally understanding the principles, not necessarily the script, but the principles of how to hold and how to lead through all the way through. And it was really beautiful for me to hold the principles and do it. And then, but also to observe and witness the person struggling and facing their fear and then becoming
finding their own wisdom, and then receiving the feedback afterward, like, oh, that was actually something really powerful. So I practiced it twice this last week.
I'm so glad that you got to practice it already twice. Yay. Yeah. And I'm so happy that you got to receive those reflections and the feedback on your work. Can feel that you really took it in, and I'm so happy to see it. And I want to pull on two pieces that you're sharing for everyone. The one is always the foundations, the energy, the energetics, more important than the script. And actually, I just like provide a little bit of script. I tell this to my in advanced depth too, where we go into like even more detailed somatic things. Like I provide a script because I know people's brains want it, but the truth is that that is not what is most important. What is most important, and this is why we start with the principle, like understanding the principles, having all of your foundational skills, then you're able to coach the what based on the who, meet each client in the moment for exactly what they need. So I'm so glad that you got to experience that and that you noted that here for us.
And I just want to say one more thing that was a breakthrough for me. I'm a Tai Chi practitioner, and in Tai Chi, you look, listen, adhere, and follow. So you're always with your person and you're adhering and following without controlling them, but yet you're the leader. And so it was like, oh, this is Tai Chi in a coaching session. Yeah. That's a Tai Chi principle. So it's perfect.
I'm writing that down. I love that. Look, listen, hear.
Adhere and follow. Yeah, like you stay with it.
Yes, yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. And yes, I agree. That's exactly what we're doing in this process.
Great.
Thank you.
Hi. So,
and then, sorry, I just want to say, and then we will get to the demo, I promise. Bree, go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly, I asked this in the Facebook group, and I apologize if it was already answered. I didn't check it today. I was just working with someone that I've known for years, and they helped me practice with coaching sometimes. And I was kind of listening with them on the process of the befriend your fear with the questions and, you know, what do you have to tell me and all these things. And it reminds me a lot of the RAIN practice, which is used in meditation, which is recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture, which can be used for different emotions. And for this person, they have deep-seated emotions with anger from trauma and things that have been done for them. I was just wondering if you would recommend using that for another emotion like anger, because it's similar. It could just be used, but just want to know if you, for that, you would tweak it in any way or just go for it.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I saw you asked it in the Facebook group. I was going to answer there, but better voice to voice. So yes, you're spot on in your instinct on it. This technique can be adapted to all parts of ourselves. And one of my stealth missions for everyone here is that this work that we're doing here in Sacred Depths helps you love all the parts of yourself more and become even deeper friends with all of your parts and have more compassion with all of your parts, so that not only you have more self-love and compassion and integration of self, but so that you can leverage all of those different parts of you for good, for yourself and for the world, and then be able to support your own clients with that. So absolutely, we want to become friends with our anger. We don't want to relegate anger to the shadows at all. We want to deepen that relationship. When I'm working with anger, and this is only one technique, there's a lot of shadow work that you can do with anger, but if you're applying befriend your fear to anger, one kind of little tip I'll share is to emphasize when you're supporting your client to connect with and dialogue with and deepen the relationship, is to emphasize the highest wisdom of the anger.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you might also beforehand, you know, to Juniper's point, you might want to spend just a little bit of time helping to create connections around some of the positive aspects of anger, ways to leverage anger, because or else it will be hard for someone maybe to go in and want to have compassion with it or love for it, et cetera. So you might want to cognitively set that stage a bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Great. Great question. Jen, if it's a quickie, I'm going to take it because I want to get us to the demo and then we'll have time for more shares and discussion. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just, you know, listening to the anger thing. And one of the things that I've personally been taught or heard is that anger is an indicator that our boundaries have been crossed. And I like to use that and remind that not only for myself, but for my clients. And that's like, you know, that aha moment.
Yes.
Also for the demo, can I like put myself as a potential person?
Absolutely. I'm going to call a volunteer in a few minutes. Absolutely. Raise your hand. This is how I always, just so everybody knows, I try to always say this, but I never want anyone to get insulted. I wait for some hands to be raised. I don't even read the names. I just kind of look at the side of the screen and whichever name usually pops out at me first, I decide the universe is saying that's the best learning for everybody. So yes, please, in a few minutes, I'm gonna ask everybody if you want to volunteer for the demo, raise your hand. Before we go into it, a couple things. So I'll do a demo, and what I want to invite everyone to do, if you're observing, if you're not being coached, is to use all of your listening skills, your deep listening skills, and to take notes and to write down for yourself, what are some of the skills that you're observing? What is noteworthy to you? What are you noticing about the energetics in the session? What are you noticing about how I'm listening and how that's coming through? How am I co-creating awareness through the process with the client? What are some of the breakthrough questions that are being asked? How are we visioning and strategizing? Maybe think about how are the four levels of learning and processing, Juniper brought that up earlier. How are those being activated in the session? What is noteworthy? Also, as you're listening, take note of what you might do differently in a session. Because guess what? Like, yes, I have a lot of experience and expertise and I'm teaching it, but I am not the end all be all. There are many roads that lead to an incredible session. And we always have choices as practitioners, right? And it's not just the one choice. That's the ding, ding, ding. So what might you do differently? Also, I might make a mistake, right? So note that as well, because I am definitely imperfect. And also write down any questions that you have about the process as we go through. So, well, in this demo, you know, because we've done so much prep work over the last 2 weeks, I'm not going to lead it like the full beginning part. Well, I will talk with the client beforehand, but I'm assuming everybody's kind of identified a fear or behaviors already, you know, et cetera. So we'll spend a little time on those first two steps, and then we'll go straight into the somatic part. So like I said before, if you would like to receive some coaching today. Raise your hand. I'll wait a moment. And like I said, I just really am gonna like turn to the side, see which name pops out, and go from there. All right, Jen, you happen to pop out. So there we go. Thank you, everyone else who volunteered.
Thanks for modeling, Joanna. You're so good.
Okay. So, hi.
Hi.
Hi, hi.
Thank you for volunteering and for being willing to share with us. So I'm guessing that the reason why you volunteered is because you've got a fear, or you're seeing some kind of surface habits that you'd like to do the technique with. Correct. So yeah, share with us what you want to work on.
Yeah, and I started to share yesterday in the Q&A, but I'll just kind of give you some threads. Essentially, it's about consistency and social media and sharing. And I do recognize that there's a few different rabbit holes or threads to go down with like the specific fear. One is like, I'm not being consistent, and like, as if that's, you know, a really bad thing, and that I'm going to disappoint and let people down. The other part is I'm really scared of burnout, and that links more towards seeing my mom burn out and having these anger bursts and being really scared of that. And I'm not really an angry person. I get like sad. So I'm like scared. I'm like scared of essentially letting people down. They get, you know, angry, and also burning out, then I'm get like spread thin and not stable, I guess would be a good word for it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So first I'll just reflect back and tell me if I'm getting this right. When it comes to social media and showing up or not showing up and all the kind of push pull that comes along with that, like we were talking about yesterday, you're seeing two places, at least, but the two that you mentioned that are contributing to the push-pull. One is this fear of disappointing others if you don't show up consistently. And then the other, and it almost seems like they're in opposition to each other in a way, is the fear of burning out. And really spreading yourself too thin. Am I getting all of that right?
Yeah. And there's a sense of like, I know I want a group program, but the fear is that I'll have to put myself out there on all these, you know, social media platforms, really hustle, hustle, hustle. And it'll burn me out, and I'll be kind of in this imposter mode. And like the fear of then not actually showing up as like the leader that I am. Yeah, it's a nice little soup of like,
yeah, we can see that again, like how they're kind of in opposition and one leading to the next. And I'm curious, you may not have an answer for this, but I'm curious, this experience of this push-pull, I really don't want to burn out and spread myself too thin, but I need to do all these things or else someone is going to be upset at me, but I'm worried about burning out, but I have to do these things or else there's going to be anger or upset. Where else do you know that from? Where else does that show up in your life?
Yeah, and another part of that is like, I'm scared of the failure, actually, of like not following through and thinking this is the only way to do it is social media. Yeah, the push pull, you nailed it. It's like one day I'm like, oh man, I'm so solid, I'm so good, and then the next day I'm like, doing my inner child work, and I'm like, oh my God, or just feeling the pressure, or even just feeling like the pain of the earth, and I'm like, whoa, like bliss. Sorry, I just got really loud. It'll go away soon. But like this bliss state, and then this like deep pain for the earth.
The fear of failure piece that you just mentioned, just talk a little bit more about that. I just want to understand that a little bit more.
About what part? Sorry, a fire
You
truck just went by.
mentioned the fear of failure.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. The archetype that comes up for me is perfectionism. And failure is like, again, that feeling of like disappointment. Being a
Yeah.
disappointment is like really the failure.
Yeah, the
It's
fear of
almost like
failing.
probably a lovability
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah. So there's the, it's like there's a little bit of a difference between the fear of disappointing others and then the fear of being a disappointment.
Yeah.
They're related, but I feel even more. Tell me if I'm getting this right. Emotion comes up around that piece, the fear of being a disappointment.
Yeah, and to go a little deeper, it would be like, oh man, I'm sure others can relate. When it's like crafting a social media post, I feel like I could make do it in 2 minutes, but I'm like, nah, like I want to really craft something really beautiful and good. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, like 45 minutes later, and I'm like, I could have been meditating.
So it's like, tell me if I'm getting it. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy where you have this fear of burning out, but then you have this fear of disappointing and being a disappointment because of that. Like the social media post could just take 5 or 10 minutes and then there wouldn't be burnout. But because of the fear of disappointing others, it becomes a choice between do I do the social media and burn out or do I not do it at all and then risk disappointing others anyway?
Yeah, it's like that, the dragon eating its tail kind of thing.
Okay,
Yeah.
good. So my sense, we could look at any one of the pieces that are coming through. My sense is to go with the one that holds the most emotion, knowing that it'll also start to work on the others and to maybe take a deeper look at this fear of being a disappointment. How does that land for you, or is there another one that feels better for us to go into today?
Yeah, that lands. Yeah, there's like so much resistance around posting on social media because, yeah, it's like I feel like in a way I'm taking up all this time. Yeah, honestly, there's like a time scarcity thing going on too. I think that's like even maybe deeper. I don't know.
My sense is that it's related.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's start with this, and I promise I'll bring this piece in as well as we go through. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And again, sorry, there's some fire trucks passing by. I don't know why, but they'll be gone soon.
Okay. Are you able to go inwards with them? Okay. Okay, great. Is it okay for us to go deeper with this? Yeah, okay, great. If it's comfortable, you can close your eyes if it's better for, okay. And I just want to invite you, Jen, to take a moment to come home to your body. Feel your seat beneath you and feel your seat supporting you. And even sense the earth way beneath the ground that's always there. Supporting. Yeah, and I invite you to settle in, allow yourself to be supported. Really giving this time to you, just for you. Yeah. And take a moment now and begin to sense in, as you sense into your body, where today, where are you holding this fear of being a disappointment? Oh, you knew right away. Yeah, good. You're doing really well. So I want to invite you to continue to just be with that place in the base of your neck. If it's comfortable, close your eyes. If not, keep them open. And hold space for that fear of being a disappointment that's at the base of your neck by your clavicles there. And just hold space for it. And be with it. Yeah, you're doing really well. Hold space for it as if you were holding space for a client. Hold space for this fear with compassion for it. And if possible, with love. Just be with it with love, with compassion for it. And are you someone who's usually able to visualize? Okay, so I want to invite you to go in there to the base of your neck where the fear is, almost like you were a detective. Go with your magnifying glass and your flashlight and take a look. What does this fear look like inside of you?
It was like the first thing that I saw was like a cartoon werewolf, like, rawr. I'm laughing at it because it's a cartoon, which makes me smile. It's like very creative, honestly.
Yeah, like
Odd shape, but I guess I could kind of make it out to be like a werewolf shape with like cartoon eyes.
Yes. I can kind of picture it myself. Good, good. You're doing really well. So continue to hold space for this cartoon werewolf that is the fear of being a disappointment. And be with it. And I want to invite you to take in that space in your neck where you're holding the fear and around the werewolf. Take it in with all of your senses. Notice if it's hot or cold in there, damp or dry, if there's a sound. Just let us know what else you notice.
I noticed that the lump is starting to rise into my throat from what I know as the soul seat to the throat chakra, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, good. It's not out of the ordinary once we start to hold space, right, for it to want to show us some things and shift.
I
So,
know.
were you going to say something?
Oh yeah, I noticed that it's like I'd call it heavy, but it's even though it's heavy, it's like lightning. I
Ah.
can't sense a temperature, but potentially it's like a little more hot.
Yeah. Don't,
Strange.
you know, yeah. And you don't need to figure out why. Just be with it, right? And continue to hold space and honor it and have compassion for it. And I wanna invite you to ask it some questions, Jen. And the first question to ask this fear of being a disappointment is, what event or series of events first brought it into being in your life?
Oh man. I feel fire in my molecules. Yeah, like a burning. Meaning like in my DNA, like a burning at the stake. I've Which is interesting because it's a werewolf, like a male figure. My dad being a little kid, disappointing my dad. My mom getting angry. Yeah, it's like almost like without trying to think about it too much, it feels like is that the patriarchy? Like
Yeah, and don't overthink it. Just be with it and allow it to answer. What can make more meaning afterwards, I promise. You're doing really well. It's giving you so much important information. Just continue to hold space for this fear of being a disappointment that has roots in this lifetime with your parents and also in lifetimes before. And so it's been around for a long time. And I invite you to continue to hold space for it and honor it and be with it. And ask it, what purpose does it serve in your life?
the word that came up was abandonment, like protecting me from abandonment.
Ah, oh, I just got chills. Do you know what it means by that? If not, you can ask it more. Yeah, what does it mean?
My mom would get angry and then, slam doors and threaten to leave. And then with my dad, it was much more calm, but if we did something that disappointed him, he would say, I'm really disappointed. And so maybe that was like the identity of, oh, I'm a disappointment, so I have to be perfect.
Yes. You're doing so well. So this mechanism inside of you that kind of holds the perf to the perfection and spending so much time on the social media, and it needs to be perfect so that you're not a disappointment. It's serving such a big purpose because when you were younger, it really protected you from abandonment. Yeah, so just continue to hold space for this fear and honor it for all of the ways that it's protected and served up until now. It's done a job. Yeah. And then continuing to connect with it, just continuing to be with it and holding space for it. Ask it from its highest wisdom, from its highest wisdom, what is it that it really wants you to know about all of this?
I'm trying not to like understand what it's said or intellectualize, but it said perfect.
You can ask it what it means by that, see if it
Yeah.
wants to tell you.
It's like wanting to protect my identity is perfect. It's like kind of like took me under its wing. Like you're perfect. No one can.
What does that mean to you, Jen? What's the wisdom there?
It's what I'm gathering is that this entity is very fierce. Like I see its teeth, the great protector. And it's like, it almost like tucked me in, like it's hiding me.
What does this protector not know about who you are today? This protector's been with you since you've been a little girl, and it may not be updated on all the resources that you have today.
Great question. It started to kind of like transition into this other like sorceress, but still in the same like gray. Yeah, but much more defined, not a cartoon so much. And I was like, huh, that was interesting, but I didn't really mention it. And then you asked that, and it's like, oh, that's right.
So ask it what the change is about. Why is it showing up as the sorceress now?
Oh, powerful. And yeah, there's priestess energy there.
Oh, yeah, I just felt that when you said it. Ask it what its newer purpose is. Sure, it's related to the old one. Ask it what its newer one is, though.
Would I ask the like sorceress or the
Yeah, ask the sorceress.
I'm almost like, should I be scared of you? Okay, let me ask her. Well, she just answered no. Ooh, I'm so in it. Can you repeat that question?
What's the sorceress priestess's purpose? It shifted from the werewolf to her. What's her purpose in your life?
Whatever I want is what she's saying. It's like the badass, like the places that leverage my power. Meaning like I've been there, so like the little girl becomes the warrior and the empathizer, like to do good.
Let that drop in. Feel the truth of that in your body, Jen.
Yeah, she says you get to choose.
Feel the truth of that. You get to choose. Where do you know that truth in your body, Jen?
What I call my Hara line, the lighthouse, the line the channel.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, you're doing really well. Continue to hold space for this badass priestess or sorceress that is there for you to use her. And ask her what she wants you to know about this fear of being a disappointment when it comes to social media or anything. From her highest wisdom, what does she actually want you to know about all this?
She said, "Haters gonna hate, and you couldn't be a disappointment if you tried." But
Let
that
them.
some people are not gonna like you.
Yes. Jen, let that sink in. Take that deeply into your body. Haters gonna hate, but you can never be a disappointment. Can you feel that?
Yeah, she
When
said,
you
showing up. Just keep showing up.
Yes. Continue to be with it. Really feel this wisdom and this knowing inside of you. Ask her if there's anything else she wants you to know about the social media and the time that the social media takes.
She said, "It's okay to make mistakes." Yeah, what's up with the social media? Do I have to do the social media? I don't love it, but why? She wants me to question if I do. Okay, she's asking me to get clear on the pleasure.
Do you know what she means by that?
Yeah, if she said, "No, you don't have to," but she wants me to show up and how to make it more pleasurable. Like, what's the energetic shift here?
Yeah. Ask her, she might not, but ask her if she has any wisdom on that, about the energetic shift to pleasure for the social media.
She's just saying enjoy. Like, enjoy
I
and
love
share it.
it.
But
I love
see,
it.
yeah, that now I start to get like, but if I'm only posting about pleasure and yeah, I know that's not exactly what she means. Like, it's not about just posting pleasure, it's about me enjoying
Yes.
how I'm making the shift. Like, the
Yeah.
shift is greater than
Yes.
just inside of me. It's a shift. I guess to be a part of it. But see, even those words, I have to. It's just like,
Yeah, so ask her to reword that for you. Let it come from her wisdom.
ooh, I'm like, well, can you ask the question again? So I can
Yeah.
keep it back in this realm.
Ask her what the higher wisdom around the pleasure and the enjoying the creating of the social media is. What is it that she wants you to know about pleasure and creating the social media?
Okay. She said fan, like meaning like influence, like you'll reach people.
Okay,
She's
good.
saying in invitation. She's inviting me.
It's not a have to, it's an invitation. When she first said enjoy and share, when you were sharing that, it was amazing. There was whatever was behind you, there was steam, like all of a sudden came, it looked like it was coming from your head, like this. Anyway, take one more moment with her.
Another word that came up was consistency, but again, I don't want to like intellectualize that that's me and the have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay with her. Come back to the image and the feeling of this sorceress, priestess.
It's interesting because I'm like a little bit like, because, you know, when I'm looking at her, it's she's beautiful, but everything's dark. Like, it's dark. So, yeah, I feel like I have this ability to see also the light in her. It's like,
so don't judge it. And know that there's all of it, there's all of life there, and that you have the ability to connect in with the light.
I think she's a little mad at me, a little bit. I think that's kind of like, hey, you've been keeping me in the dark.
Yeah, I love it. Good. So ask her this one last question. Ask her what she would like from you so that the two of you can continue this and become better friends.
Her eyes just turned yellow. So like there's light coming. She wants me to write. Yeah, spending more time with her, asking her questions, having more intimacy, meaning like understanding this relationship, honoring her.
Is that something that you're willing to do?
Yeah, I feel like, okay. Oh my God. I feel like she's a sorceress, meaning a witch, that is wanting to be back in the light. She's been just burned at the stake. Now she's ash, coal. She's burned, she's dark, she's ash, and she's in the dark. And she's like, hey, I'm ready to be back out in the light.
Yes, yes. And this is one of the reasons why she wants you to connect with her more. So if you're willing to do that, let her know. Let her know this is just the beginning.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so well done. So well done. I have so many chills. For now, we're going to come to close on this part of it, but just really take a moment and thank her. Yeah. Yeah.
She's saying it's safe now.
Yes, let that drop in. Let that truth drop in.
Wow. Whew.
Feel the truth of that in your body, Jen. It is safe now. It is safe now. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Oh my God.
So beautifully done. So beautifully done. So I wish we had we have a half hour left on this call. I wish we could spend the whole half hour, talking about everything that happened, but I'm gonna give us 3, 4 minutes to, you and I, and then we're gonna open up to kind of looking at this as practitioners. So much there. For now, Jen, what are some of the most important pieces that you're taking from this work, this really important?
Wow. First of all, oof, a true ritualist, a true ceremonialist. I'm so grateful for you and your ancestors. I'm taking the wisdom that it's all so interconnected. Just leave that there. Just like what I'm reading right now, what I read last night, just all of it. It's all interconnected. That I, you mean as like a receiver, right? Not as a practitioner.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no. As a receiver, what are some of the biggest takeaways? So it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. That we live in this crazy opportunistic time right now. The fact that I can even talk about this, 2023, 200 years ago, I would be burned for talking about this. And yeah, I mean, and some women around the world still are, and I have a voice, and I have an opportunity.
Yes. That doesn't mean you have to post on social media every day, right? But when you feel called, you get to use that voice and that opportunity with pleasure, right? Not like I have to, but when you feel called with pleasure to share that voice.
Yeah, and that, okay, part of me is like, oh, too far, but what I wanted to say is that there's opportunity in making social media a healing tool.
Write that down. There is opportunity in making social media a healing tool. That is so different than I have to do it or else I'm going to be a disappointment. Right? Completely different stratosphere that we're in with this now.
Yeah, I've been publicly torn apart by someone that didn't have the openness to receive my support and got, yeah, just, and it's a pattern. I've heard of her pattern, but anyway, it was really hard for me, and I think it really triggered me. This was a few years ago.
Of course. And I want to remind you what your sorceress said, your witch said. She said, haters gonna hate, but you can never be a disappointment. And she reminded you that you're safe now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna move us along just a little bit for now. So based on all of this, what are some action, inner, outer, next step actions that you feel called to?
We'll definitely cultivate an honoring relationship with Sorceress. Ask her what her name is. Okay, she just told me. And have a ceremony for her, which
Yes.
her I feel like is it's my ancestors. It's so much more. It's like Magdalene. Mary energy of, I Mary is actually teacher. It's apparently where the word comes from. And so it's not just one person, it's an energy, it's an entity.
Beautiful, good. And is there a next step around the social media piece for you?
I'd say leaning into it's almost like the witch coming out of the closet, but she doesn't have to like prove a point, you know, but just recognizing, taking it from the energy of, wow, it's 2023. I'm allowed to say this.
Yes.
And yeah, there's like that little other piece of like, again, this is maybe the more intellectual part of me, but training AI of what humanity looks like is important. I believe that.
Yeah.
So social media, yeah, maybe it's just, yeah, posting about like having a ceremony, even just something, and it doesn't have to be long. It can
No,
be
no.
simple.
Yes. Beautiful. So I want to invite you to do that over this next week. And when you go to post, take a moment and bring her with you. Have her be with you as you're writing that social media post.
Ooh. Okay, this is great because we got that Virgo new moon.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about the witch, so.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. And then if you want to journal, if you want, I'm just tossing this as one other piece of inner, but if you want to journal just with the, I'm thinking start with the prompt of I can never be a disappointment, right? Which came straight from her, or I'm safe now.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Wow, Joanna.
Yay!
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all you brought for all of us, Jen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So if you want, you can put your practitioner, I'm sure your practitioner hat is already halfway on. You can put it or on if you want. I want to open up the discussion to all the practitioners. I'd love to hear, please raise your hands, some shares. What stood out to you, what, you know, all the questions I asked in the beginning. What did you see? What do you want to pull out from the work that Jen and I just did from practitioner point of view? What questions came up for you? What did you notice? Who wants to share? Don't be shy you know, if you're not sure, please just share anyway. It's for everybody's learning. So, what'd you see? What'd you learn? What'd you notice? What do you want to pull on, practitioner-wise? Victoria.
Thank you both so much for all of that. I felt like I was being brought through with you witnessing that. And I'm still processing too right now, so I'll try my best to articulate. I was really taken by the amount of repetitions to clarify. Like it was such a beautiful process to see that like something was said, and instead of taking that and going with it was like turned back over, and then again like something came up and it was acknowledged, and instead of running with that it was turned back over, and I felt like every turn of it helped to almost get to like the essence of it, and brought us deeper. Even I was taken with towards the middle-ish. It was like let that drop in and feel it, pause, and there was something again, and let that drop in, feel it, and then even when the top-down processing of like understanding or intellectualizing happened, it was like turn it back in, bring it again into the body and feel it, like turn it back over. So it felt very, that's
Yeah,
what it felt like.
I'm so glad you're pulling on that. It's so important for the process for a couple of reasons, right? So number one, we want the client to be feeling, the brain is always involved, always, but we want to be activating more than just the cognitive, and we want the client to be feeling, right? To be in their body, From the wisdom to come from a deeper place, and for the wisdom that comes through to then be felt like it came up from the body, and then we want to feel it again in the body. It's also a way of co-regulating with the fear, having more space, slowing it down, continuing to come back. The thing that Victoria mentioned about the, okay, now feel, let it drop in, feel it in your body. Did everyone notice that I didn't give that prompt until a piece of higher wisdom came through? So in the beginning with the werewolf, it was not quite the higher wisdom. Like we were getting there, but it was not quite the higher wisdom yet. As we just gave the werewolf space and time and love and honoring, it morphed into the sorceress witch. And that's when the higher wisdom really started to come through. Good. Marla.
Well, poetry in motion. I mean, this... there's so much and so masterfully done. I don't even know where to start, but just as an, I have an overall observation and then a couple of questions, which may or may not be, but it was just magical how you covered so much ground and went so deep, and it felt like there was so much space. It didn't feel rushed. It felt, you know, it was just so in the flow. And I mean, I am really blown away. I'm going to have to watch this at least one more time. And, but there's two things. One is really, thank you. The two questions are, one is you're working with somebody who clearly, I mean, she even answered some of your questions before you asked them. What would you do with someone who, I mean, it's just a, like one end of the spectrum, but and again, I don't know if these are for now, but the other thing is it was like you went boom, boom, dropped all these things. And yet there's still so much more there to go back to, all the other fears that weren't attended to in the beginning, and some kind of reinforcement. So just kind of like the bigger context.
Yeah. Great question. So the first is, yes, like Jen obviously is in sacred depths and she, right. But that being said, I wouldn't start off any differently with any client, and you would be surprised what's just setting the container and going slow. Like you would be, not to say that there isn't resistance. And what I want to point out, and I say this with so much love for Jen, because Jen and I are sisters in this. She's a smarty pants, and it took her a while to drop down in, right? Like, because she's so smart and knows so much, actually, like there was resistance at first. Not resistance like, no, I don't want to go and look at this. But there, I had to remind her towards the beginning to close her eyes if it's okay, right? Like there was still resistance there, but I didn't freak out about it. I didn't worry about it. I just continued to hold the space and was with the client. And I didn't know what was going to happen, and that's okay. If this was, to your second question, if Jen was an ongoing private client, we would pick up other pieces moving forward. But the work that we did today is going to impact the other pieces she was talking about in the beginning, without a doubt. And they will be impacted even more, Jen, if you come back, like do the ceremony, do the journaling, continue to dialogue, do what, you know, like bring the witch in more and more. Good. Sheila.
Thank you both for that demonstration. It was really powerful. I'm wondering about, so when the first we had the image, it was a menacing image, the werewolf, the shift. Does that happen often, or what would you do if that shift never came and it was a werewolf, how common is that, that it's going to shift and that the image will change when the higher wisdom starts to come through?
It's a great question. So I think there's a couple of pieces in there. Sometimes, even sometimes when it doesn't start, you use the word menacing, and I want to speak about that for a moment, but for now let's use menacing. Even when it doesn't start out as menacing, it still may shift or may not shift, right? So that's just one thing. I always like to, she happened to mention it, but I always like to check in to see. We didn't have to do it in this case, you know, but at the end of a process, does it look different? Does it feel different? And I always say there's no right or wrong in it. It might feel exactly the same, but just for awareness purposes. Okay, second thing I want to say about, want to share about your question. If you're working with a client and, like, let's say Jen would have said, it's a werewolf, and it's terrifying, and my heart is starting to beat now, and I don't want to have anything to do with this, I wouldn't have just been like, continue to connect with it, give it love, et cetera. Because it was a cartoon and she was kind of laughing, and that was like, yes, proceed. But if Jen would have been like, I don't like this thing and I don't want it right, we would have moved around it in one way or another. So as an example, one thing you can do in that situation is ask the client to open their eyes, help them calm, right? Like help them get a little more regulated and just ask you, do you sense that was the highest wisdom of the fear that came through or not? And then go in and from the get-go say, connect with the highest wisdom of the fear, right? So something along those lines. Another option is to first kind of get some space from it. And then you can ask the client, what's the part of you that's scared of that image? And that might lead you to the fear versus the like critical voice or the menace, you know, but the actual, the fear, if that makes sense.
Okay. So ultimately we're getting to the higher wisdom, what this fear is here for. Regardless really of whether the image is going to change, it's more about however you get there on that path.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Great question. Amy.
Yeah, I'd love to share a little bit on the energetics and the different levels of processing, so that what was coming through really strongly was the continual normalizing and reassurance, and there was really this safeness felt at every level, and lots of permission giving and consent as well. So that was a lot to include under the energetics, but it was really kind of pinging up throughout for me. And one piece that really stood out, and I think it for me it came up around the different levels of processing, that when you did invite Jen to go to the body and she was going to the sort of the throat area, what was really standing out was I was seeing this really gentle layering where you were saying about inviting her to hold space and be with it. And it was a real gentle holding of that. And then it was hold space like you would for a client. And that seemed to shift. And then there was a deeper layer of hold space with compassion. So there was this kind of this step by step, and then the invitation, could you hold it even with love, as that very, and I could really feel this dance between those layers of the cognitive, the emotion and the body, and for sure the spirit, like all blending there. So that was just kind of wanted to share that on the micro, that really stood out as a really nice demonstration of going through those layers.
Yeah, thank you for pulling that apart piece by piece. Yeah, so just to underline some of the things that Amy just said, first of all, encouragement, right? How many times did I say to Jen, you're doing really well, right? We our clients need encouragement because they're like, did I just think that? Am I doing it the right way? Is it my habit? Right? Like all the things, whether they verbalize that or not. Am I getting everything out of this that I need to get? Is this, right? So just that encouragement, you're doing really well, right? I also let her know in different ways that I was with her. Oh, I just got chills, right? Or just an expression, ooh, right? Like that kind of thing. And the reflecting back also, as Victoria said, right? That just all of that contributing to it. And then this other piece that Amy is talking about, I did it right away. Because sometimes if you say right away, love this part, people are like, no, right? So you want to take it slowly and you want to invite and space. I have the benefit of a lot of times working with practitioners, so I can say hold space for it as if you would hold space for a client. But if you're working with someone that's not a practitioner, you can say as if you were holding space for a young child or somebody that you love very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Jessica. You there, Jessica? If you're talking, you're on.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I just wanted to reiterate, apologies. Thank you so much for being so willing to be so vulnerable and courageous and doing this in public like this. Nice work. My question then is that this is an amazing breakthrough, and we've spoken about breakthrough versus transformation. So I'm wondering, Jen, what are the next steps you're going to take, or what kinds of habits you'll put in place, or mantras you'll have to tell yourself all the time, or things like that to really kind of like lock this breakthrough in and make it kind of embodied in you, get it in your bones, so to speak.
I love that question. Jen, do you want to answer?
We'll start with the baby steps. One, I'm going to read the chat, because I know I saw things popping up, and I know there's other sorceress, priestess, alchemists in the crowd. So I think learning about some of this history, I mean, I remember taking women's history in high school, but just learning a little bit more about certain energies for me, I think is a really good next step, having the ceremony. And then in terms of the social media, I think I still need to just do some journaling on that. I'm not like totally dormant by any means, but get clear as to like what I want to share and why. Sometimes I just want to like post something, like even just share what I'm up to, because I have a really badass, amazing, adventurous life. I think
those are some great examples. And if more come through, definitely write them down.
I think journaling.
That's great. Yeah. And that's what I was going to add is I love that question, Jessica. And you named some more things now, Jen, which is great. And also when Jen and I strategized, we did a little bit of strategizing at the end, right? We, even though we didn't name it as moving the breakthrough to the transformation or the embodiment of it, a lot of those action steps were exactly that. So doing the ceremony, I invited her to journal from the pieces of wisdom that's coming back to the embodiment, going deeper with all of the neural and somatic pathways, the bringing the witch in to the writing of the social media, right? All of those pieces are elements of the bringing the breakthrough to the transformation. If Jen and I were working privately ongoing, I would check in on all of those action steps, and then we would create more moving forward. Good. Maria.
Yeah, I just want to bow to both of you. Definitely sister speaks for me, the witch that was burned. I wasn't burned, I was drowned. But anyways, And so coming out, so you were doing great work for all of us. And I love that, how we do one for us, we help us and helps us all. So I just want to highlight that. But my question is, from a practitioner state, is how to create enough space for them to share, but then not get too wordy. That's what I found. I practiced it twice, but like, they're like telling too much, right? And so to bring them back. And so what's the, when you notice they're pausing or looking or thinking, I don't know, just that fine art of giving them enough space to tap into the wisdom, but not so long that now they're over.
Yeah.
Do you understand my question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really about being willing to pause them, right? And say, I want to pause you here for a moment. You're doing really well. And I want to bring you back to your body. Come back and hold space for where you're holding this in your body today, right? And then if they're visual, you bring them back to the visual or the five senses. Notice what it looks like. Has it changed at all? And now from this place, from its highest wisdom, what is it that it wants you to know? Or whatever the next question is going to be. So it's about a pause, a bringing back to the body. And I did it. It came up with Jen once or twice too, where she's like, she started over intellectualizing. Well, I don't know if it means this or that or the other thing. Right. So I didn't just bypass that worry. I said, we'll come back to it later. You're doing really well for right now. Come back to the feeling. Right. So that's really all we need to do is a little flourish there.
Yeah. I love that. Actually, that stood out to me because I noticed myself, I would be like, oh, don't overanalyze it. But that piece of we'll come back to it later.
Yeah. So we want to honor and acknowledge it. Right. But then
I go for now. Thank you. Everything froze up. So I'm going to just.
That's okay. We can at least hear you. All right. I'm going to take Golda. I'm going to take Rosa. There's one more piece I want to add if it doesn't get shared. And then I'll give you some homework and we'll wrap for today. So if you can, I know we're almost at two. If you can hang on just like an extra 3, 4, 5 minutes, that would be great. If not, of course, if you have to leave at 2 Eastern, you've got the recording. Golda.
Okay, this is my brain coming in and wanting to talk about the non-script script. So I am getting it's really just a very loving, compassionate, respectful conversation with the fear. Like I get that. And I just want to actually just clarify a couple of the questions that I wouldn't probably want to miss. So where does the fear live? Do you ever say, where does the fear live? This is so like in the body or just where does the fear live?
Yeah. So I usually give the prompt in the body. Sometimes alternatively, I'll say in you or around you, but I have found that it is easier to work when someone, if possible, when they can feel where they're holding it inside their body.
Okay. Okay. And then, right, then doing the texture, the quality, the sounds. Okay, got that. And then the question around is it when did it first appear? How did you phrase that?
What is the event or series of events where you first came about to the fear?
Okay.
That brought you into being.
Okay. And then it's really, what is its purpose? What does it have to say? And then it's sort of just like a conversation.
Exactly.
And you're basically asking, you know, breakthrough questions with the fear and it's okay.
Yeah. And we could have, you know, I always think everything happens for a reason. Like we did kind of go off into, you know, sometimes it is kind of more straightforward. And so I asked some other questions, but sometimes like the ones I always like to try to get in are the ones that you mentioned, you know, what purpose have you served from your highest wisdom? What do you want? What would you like for me to know? And then what is it that you would like from me for us to be better friends?
Ah. Okay, great. And then is there anything else that...
Yeah, there's time. And then of course I did ask a lot of other questions, but it was kind of, I was just following where we were going. And since we're talking about questions, this is the piece that I wanted to kind of share with everyone. There's one thing that I would have liked to have done differently in the process. It's a very forgiving process, as you know, it worked out beautifully. But when she was kind of sticking, I don't know if you all noticed, like the werewolf was like really adamant of like, I'm going to put you away and I'm just going to keep on protecting you. And if I would have waited just a moment longer, the sorceress was coming, right? I didn't need to say anything. Like she was coming up on the heels of what I was saying. But I asked a question that was more of a head question. And I don't want to say I would have done this differently, but I do wonder if there was a better solution, because I asked, if you all notice, I asked one question that was a head question. It happened to not bring her into her head because the sorceress was appearing just then. But I said to her, what resources do you have now that the fear doesn't know about? I don't know. I'm going to think about if there was another way, but that the reason why I asked that question was because it was sticking. It seemed to be sticking pretty strong and not realizing that she was in the here and now fully, like it was like a little back and forth. So that's just so everybody knows, that's why I asked that question. That was the reasoning. But I didn't write down exactly the words I used, but I remember noting in the moment, it was a little too heady and I probably could have asked it a little bit of a different way. It wouldn't have mattered, honestly, but just because I'm a Virgo and a stickler, I wanted you all to know that. All right. So as more pieces come through or questions or awarenesses or learnings, please share in the Facebook group. It's so valuable for us to hear from all of you and the wisdom. Jen, because we've been talking about you for like 20 minutes now, let me give you the last word before homework. What are you taking from this entire call for maybe for you or for a practitioner? Anything you want to say.
I really appreciate everyone's reflections. I feel like they were so spot on, and it was nice to, you know, fully put on the practitioner hat. And I also really appreciate that what you just said about, you know, like, oh, there was something that I maybe would have done differently, but it didn't really matter, which for me as the participant was like, oh, that's so cool. Like my intuition, just like you said, it was like flashing. And I realized that the cartoon werewolf was really just like, you know, in a sense, her cloak.
Yes. Right? It was like, oh, I just got this. And then it's just like, right, yeah. She's right underneath.
It just needed cloak. Some
love. It needed some love and attention and holding. Kind of like the sun and the man, right? The man taking the jacket off.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciated just getting to kind of see it from the practitioner. And it was so lovely to have the support of all the practitioners here who were paying such excellent attention. And just feeling that, like, you know, what really stood out to me was your energetics and how you're holding space. And I think as a participant and also a practitioner, just to really like surrender into that intuitive piece, of course, like we need to practice, but to recognize that, like, where it's okay to make little mistakes, it doesn't have to be perfect.
And yeah, it's and that's exactly Yeah, that's exactly why I pointed out, because I just want to normalize. I want to normalize that for all of us. It's so important. Good. So your homework is to practice. If you have a practice partner here, practice with your practice partner, or practice in some other way, practice more than once. All the things about the energetics are very, very important, and the foundational principles, and we don't need the script. And what lives at the same place as that is the more you practice it, the more you're going to learn and embody it and master it. And continue to track your own fears. Continue to make it a practice and a way of life for yourself to meet your fears when they come up and to be with them and to have compassion all around. I'm sending you all so much love. I can't wait to hear what evolves from this. And when we meet next on resistance archetypes, it's just like we're going to deepen all of this even more.
Oh, there was one more piece real quick. Mm-hmm. Was that I'm going to post about my witch ceremony for the new moon. Like, of course.
Okay. All right, everyone, have a great day.